When most of us think of Australia, we probably don't think of human rights abuses. But last month, a group of lawyers asked the International Criminal Court, or ICC, to investigate Australia for alleged crimes against humanity, including indefinite detentions and torture. The case has to do with the country's controversial offshore immigration detention centers in the South Pacific. A number of asylum seekers have been held in these camps for nearly 4 years. Rebecca Hamilton is an Australian human rights lawyer who wants the ICC to take up the case. You have not signed on to this actual brief, but you have written, Rebecca, that there is every indication that Australian officials, over the course of successive governments, have knowingly enabled the commission of crimes against humanity. That is a pretty strong charge. Where are these crimes taking place, and is it Australians who are alleged to have committed them?
The physical location where the crimes are taking place are in what are called offshore detention facilities. They're on Nauru Island and Manus Island, which is in Papua New Guinea. Both of these are extremely remote Pacific islands, and they have been set up by the Australian government with the specific purpose of not letting any asylum seekers onto the Australian mainland. So instead of following their obligations under the UN Refugee Convention to let people who are seeking asylum come and go through a process to try to become refugees, Australia has been intercepting these people at sea and moving them onto these remote Pacific islands.
What do the two countries hosting these detention camps, of Papua New Guinea and the island nation of Nauru, what do they get out of it?
They get money. These are incredibly impoverished nations. Nauru in particular, it's tiny, and it is the site of a phosphate mine. It has been strip mined with serious environmental degradation, such that its economy has been completely decimated. So its main, or one of its core sources of income right now, is the money that it is getting from the Australian government to detain these people on that island.
So tell us who these detainees are exactly. Where are they coming from?
They're asylum seekers from a range of countries, from Iran, from Sri Lanka, from Afghanistan, from Sudan, people who have been fleeing situations of persecution and have just been trying to get to a safe location. And they include, and this is critical in the reporting out of this, high numbers of children as well.
So what is the evidence of indefinite detention, torture, crimes against humanity?
Through interviews with former officials who have been working on these islands, the Australian government has outsourced the running of these islands to private contractors. And as some of those people have resigned and left those positions, they have spoken out about the conditions that they've seen on the island. You've also had work by the UN Special Rapporteur on torture, as well as different human rights organizations who have done an amazing job of documenting what has been going on there, even in the face of extremely persistent efforts by the Australian government to keep any reporting off these islands.
And the testimony has been found to be pretty consistent between those private contractors?
Right. The allegations seem to be pretty consistent. The other thing that we've had is a cache of leaked documents that the Guardian newspaper has got hold of from similar sources that all seem to be supporting the idea that there are, at the very least, credible allegations of crimes against humanity that are being committed on these remote island locations.
Just to be clear, are any Australian citizens being accused with abuse in these cases?
Well, Australian government officials, to the extent that they are aware of what is happening and are continuing to authorize it, they're absolutely on the hook.
So what is the criteria for the International Criminal Court to take up a case? And does this case against Australia meet that criteria?
So when the International Criminal Court considers whether it's going to begin investigating a situation, it first says, are we going to do a preliminary examination? And the standard for that is there a quote-unquote reasonable basis for thinking that these allegations that are being made could be true? If it is, and if the particular situation meets different legal standards for the court, then the court is able to start a preliminary examination. One of those legal criteria recognizes the fact that the International Criminal Court is a court of last resort. So if the Australian government was taking these allegations seriously, it could look into them themselves. And at that point, the International Court wouldn't have a role.
What does the Australian government say in its defense?
It is, and I want to point out, this has been across successive governments, so it's not a right or a left issue. It says that people who are trying to come to Australia by boat will never be allowed into the country. Now, its rationale has been that making the boat journey to Australia is very dangerous and that it doesn't want people trying to make that journey. But the situations that these people are fleeing are incredibly dangerous as well. And if they are making the calculation that it is worth them trying to at least seek asylum in Australia, then the Australian government has no right to say that they can't pursue that option.
So the New York Times' Roger Cohen is one of the few reporters to have visited Australia's offshore detention camps. And on our show, he spoke about some of the time he spent at the men's camp at Manus Island on Papua New Guinea. Let's listen to that.
One of the refugees was killed. Another has died through negligence. At least a quarter of them suffering from various forms of depression.
So, Rebecca Hamilton, how much pressure is the Australian government under to shut down these camps and do something with over 1,000 asylum seekers that are living in them?
So the pressure is building, and I think the submission to the ICC is fantastic in terms of a pressure point. And I should add that there is a very strong constituency in Australia that is opposed to what the Australian government is doing here. They're a minority, but they have been on this issue for years and years and years. And there are Australian human rights lawyers who have been pushing the Australian government to try to address this issue. But it hasn't yet hit a tipping point domestically. And one of my hopes with the submission to the ICC is that with a global spotlight on this, it will further empower the people who are working domestically on this issue.
Rebecca Hamilton is a human rights lawyer who teaches law at American University's Washington College of Law. Rebecca, thanks very much.
My pleasure.